Krishna. Today I would like to talk about one particular verse from the Bhagavad Gita, which has caught my attention over the last few weeks, you could say. The last few weeks were not easy. We had a few retreats. My first time where I gave the Sacred Space seminar, and that required a lot of preparation. Also, we were engaged in planning our tours for the rest of the year. I was also taking every free minute to work on my Venu Gita Katha, which I prepare for the Serbian summer camp. And all of this, traveling, preparing, planning, I got a slip disc, as I found out today, which will be repaired tomorrow, most probably. Then also I was taking the time to really go in my own spiritual practice very deeply and think about obstacles on devotional life. And that will be the center or the main focus of my speech today on Ekadasi, how to overcome obstacles which come on our path. There's a very nice verse in the Bhagavad Gita, which I'm sure many of you have read and discussed in the previous, you know, during their own reading of the Bhagavad Gita. A verse which is giving us a lot of encouragement, and I would like to chant it today with you. If you have a Bhagavad Gita in your home place, you can open the book at chapter 18, text number 58. The verse says in Sanskrit, Machita sarvadurgani mat prasadat tarishyati atachet tvam ahankaram nashoshyasi vinanshasi. If you become conscious of me, you will pass over all the obstacles of conditioned life by my grace. If, however, you do not work in such consciousness, but act through false ego, not hearing me, you will be lost. Srila Prabhupada explains that someone who is in full Krishna consciousness is never anxious, he's not worried because of the different things which life throws at him. And he says, the foolish cannot understand this great freedom from all anxiety. For one who acts in Krishna consciousness, Lord Krishna becomes the most intimate friend. He always looks after his friend's comfort. And he gives himself to his friend who is so devotedly engaged, working 24 hours a day to please the Lord. Therefore, no one should be carried away by the false concept of life. One should not falsely think himself independent of the laws of material nature or free to act. He is already under strict material laws. But as soon as he acts in Krishna consciousness, he is liberated, free from the material perplexities. One should note very carefully that one who is not active in Krishna consciousness is losing himself in the material whirlpool, in the ocean of birth and death. No conditioned soul actually knows what is to be done and what is not to be done. But a person who acts in Krishna consciousness is free to act because everything is prompted by Krishna from within and confirmed by the spiritual master. So there is security for someone who acts in Krishna consciousness, who remains mindful of Krishna while he acts, because two very powerful personalities act as his intimate friends and guides. Krishna inside the heart, who steers the soul through the different perplexities of life, and also the spiritual master, who from outside confirms and even sometimes mildly corrects if there is a misunderstanding. This is today's verse. I always like to read it. I would like to now go into an explanation. I must say the book is waiting then. Maybe I can also ask you, inside the bookshelf is a pink book called Venu Gita. Yes, I think you have it. Yes. That's the right book. That's the right book. The focus of today's program is on overcoming obstacles by the Lord's grace. There's one great devotee of Krishna called Bilva Mangala Thakur, who detached himself from a life of sense gratification and went to Vrindavan. Now, while he was on his way to Vrindavan, he had to overcome one more time and material attachment which he had in his heart. But then, upon entering into the area of Vrindavan, the sacred space, so to say, he felt so blissful. When you nowadays come to Vrindavan by airplane, you enter the magical circle of Vrindavan Dham, somewhere near Koshi. And when you cross the border from India, normal India, into sacred India or sacred Vrindavan, near that Koshi area, there's a sign, Koshi, on that autobahn from Delhi, you can almost instantly feel relief. You have made it now into the holy Dham. So Bilva Mangala Thakur, many hundreds of years ago, felt the same. He had come all the way from South India, and he now entered Vrindavan. And as he entered the circle of Vrindavan, I'm not speaking of Vrindavan village, but the greater area around Vrindavan, he felt extremely relieved and extremely happy. And he felt, he actually saw Krishna. Now, when he saw Lord Krishna, he described his beauty, and then he described a particular quality in Krishna which he took note of. I've written this down. It's in Krishna Kanamrita, verse 56. Krishna is he who has firmly vowed to dispel the distress of all those whose heart have blossomed with faith. This is the particular quality of Krishna. He has made a vow that if your heart is faithful, if he sees Shraddha, faith in your heart, he will personally take action to remove your miseries and your distress, or your obstacles. In today's verse, the verse of the Gita, Lord Krishna expresses it in a philosophical way. He says, Machchitta sarva-durgani. If your citta, that means your heart or consciousness, is filled with thoughts of Krishna, then you will cross over all the difficulties in your life. But the way Bilva Mangala Thakur expresses it is, Krishna has made this vow, I want to remove the misery from and the problems from the heart of my devotees. He has made this particular firm vow. Now, devotees, since time immemorial, have sung a verse from the Mahabharata, a verse which gives them strength, a verse in which they remember the vow of Krishna, that Krishna firmly wants to remove distress for those who are faithful. And the verse says, O Govinda, remembering again and again your promise that your devotee will never perish, I maintain my life. I think this is a very good meditation in our ordinary life. While we go through our difficulties, that we remember Krishna has given this vow, he has given this promise. My devotee who has this faith in his heart, he will not perish, he will not be annihilated, he will not be defeated in this struggle for existence which is there in this material world. Krishna's greatest devotees, the gopis, had prayed in the Gopi Gita about Krishna's vow. They had said,
Vishajalapyatyad vyala rakshasad vasha marutad vayutanalat brishamayat majat vishvato bayad rishabate vayam rakshitamu.
O Krishna, greatest of personalities, you have repeatedly saved us from all kinds of danger. You have kept your promise. You have saved us people from the poisoned water, from the terrible man-eater Agha, from the great rains, from the wind demon, from the fiery thunderbolt of Indra, from the bull demon, and from the son of Maya Danava. This means, as the gopis remember, how once the cowherd boys of Vrindavan went to the Yamuna, which was poisoned, and when they drank the poison, they fainted dead to the ground. But Krishna just came and looked at them with his eyes which have a certain medicine inside. When Krishna looks at you, his glance gives you a spoon of medicine. That's what happens when Krishna looks at you. It's called Sudhakar. He has this Sudhakar substance, the Sudhakar medicine, which revives even the dead person back to life. They remember how Krishna had revived his friends who had entered the belly of Agasura and lay dead in his stomach, but just looking at them. And they remember how Krishna had, I want to talk about this, saved the Brajabasis from the great rains and the fiery thunderbolt of Lord Indra. They remember this. Particularly in this last Leela which we have heard, that Krishna saved the Brajabasis when Indra was enraged and sent a huge water flood over Braj. Krishna came to the help. It is described when the rain clouds, started to put Braj under water, Krishna left the house of Nanda Maharaj and quickly ran to the area where his cows and cowherd boys were under great danger. It is described that by the Leela Shakti, sort of mystical umbrella came over Krishna, so that he, even his turban and his cloth were not getting wet. But the rest of Vrindavan, whew, was flooded with water, so much so that you could not distinguish between the valleys and the hills any longer. It was not possible. The devotees of Vrindavan cried out to Krishna for help. They said, Krishna, Krishna, Mahabaha, Bhagha, Tvamnatam, Gokulam Prabhu. Krishna, Krishna, O most fortunate one, please deliver the cows from the wrath of Indra. O Lord, you are so affectionate to your devotees. Please save us also. Indra had become angry at Krishna because Krishna had told the Brajbasis to stop the yearly Indra puja, something which had been going on since generations, and to worship instead of Indra the sacred hill Giriraj. So Indra felt, oh, I have been worshipped for so long. Now they just, it's just a worship instead of me, a stone. He was very, very frustrated and very angry. Krishna is very foolish, Indra thought. He has convinced the Brajbasis to do this this blasphemous action against me. I will take revenge now. And then he had sent the same rain clouds which work at the time of annihilation of the whole cosmic manifestation. So this is something which the gopis kept in mind, how Krishna at that time reacted. Krishna took the huge mountain Giriraj and used it as a powerful umbrella so that the thunderbolt of Indra could just not crash down on the mountain. The gopis remembered how the huge rain clouds could not create a flood which would harm the Brajbasis. Krishna had protected the Brajbasis by providing them shelter. The Brajbasis knew from their past experience what Krishna had done, and they always kept their faith strong in Krishna's ongoing protection. They remembered how Gaga Muni at the name-giving ceremony of Krishna had told all the Brajbasis, by this boy's grace you will easily cross beyond all difficulties. They had faith in this statement. They had also faith which was substantiated or made more firm by their practical experience in Krishna's protection. So when Krishna saw this tremendous faith of the Brajbasis who had prayed to him in difficulties, he actually responded to them. It's in the Bhagavatam. He thought to himself, I must protect these devotees by my transcendental potency, for I am their only shelter. I am their master. Indeed, they are my family. After all, I have taken a vow to protect my devotees. And Vishwana Chakravarti Thakur explains what went on in Krishna's mind. Krishna was thinking, just like people who have come into a person's home for a visit are ultimately really provided shelter and food and everything by the person who is the proprietor of the house. Krishna takes care of all his devotees whom he thinks have entered his home, his house, and now Krishna is duty bound to protect them. He feels this is my duty. I don't know how you feel when you have a guest. I think you feel naturally to feed him, and if he wants to take a shower, yes, let him take a shower. And if he went out on a walk and he was caught by a rain cloud and his cloth is wet, I give him my cloth. It is natural for me. So Krishna also takes on the case of each devotee who comes and surrenders to him with the faith that Krishna, it will be my protector and my maintainer. He has made this vow. This is how he naturally feels. And think about it. Only a very unkind person, a very bad person, would not take care of someone who comes to his home. One very nice devotee told me, when she was a little girl, she went with her girlfriend home, and they played or did something, home activities. And then all of a sudden the mother comes in and calls this her daughter to eat, but doesn't call the daughter's friend who's there in the room and waits and dies from hunger. You know, it is cruel. If a person is so cruel as to not take care of those who come to the home, he is not of good character. Something is wrong. Something has turned modern in that person's mind. Modern people are unfortunately not so hospitable any longer, but stare with red, hostile eyes on their guests. But a real normal person will take care of his guests. So when someone comes and thinks of Krishna as his protector and maintainer, Krishna takes it as his personal duty. They have come to my home. I will give them everything they need. And Krishna even thinks, even at the time of the Mahapralaya, that's when the whole universe is put to ruin and the whole planetary systems are drowned, I will protect my devotees. This is my vow. So you must know that those who have this faith that Krishna will protect me, these are Sharanagati souls, and they are of two natures. You can find out where you stand. The first is a soul who is really deeply remembering Krishna in love and devotion. And such a devotee worships Krishna out of natural bhava or prema. Now there's a second type of soul, and I think this holds true for many of us. These are devotees who worship Krishna, who are not yet full of love, but who understand Krishna is my only solution. He can do absolutely everything. When I have no other option, most of these devotees think like this, when I have exhausted all my possibilities, then I finally turn to Krishna. Of course, that's not so good, but it's at least the second type of Sharanagati soul. It's someone who turns to Krishna to overcome his own obstacles in his or her life. So no matter if you belong to the first category, that is, you just love Krishna and for you there is no other thought than Krishna, or if you belong to the second category, where you just turn to Krishna to overcome your obstacles and difficulties, in all cases, case one or case two, Krishna will accept you. Just as someone who has a guest in his house takes care naturally for the needs of the guest. Now, I must tell you one thing. This happens only if you have faith in Krishna. If you don't have faith that Krishna will protect you, then most probably Krishna will arrange situations in such a way that you first make your experiences. With this I mean that you will take other shelter, or you will take shelter somewhere else if you are not yet full of faith in Krishna, and you will see that these shelters will be wrong shelters. They will fail you. They will disappoint you. And out of this frustration and disappointment, you will finally turn wise and turn to Krishna. This can take many births and deaths. You know, after many birth and death, a wise person surrenders to Krishna. It's best to be quickly wise. That is, look at your life. Look where you have taken shelter to cure your life or to become free from the problems of your existence. And you will easily see that these shelters didn't work so well. They didn't work so 100% good. It was a little bit illusory and so on. So, when you finally have faith, then you will have faith, have this understanding, Krishna will maintain and protect me. And it is said in the scriptures, Shraddha or faith is that state of mind which is cetasa samprasada. That means your consciousness is full with happiness when you take faith, when you have faith in your consciousness. Faith, my dear devotees and my dear friends and my dear skeptics, is described to be the natural and clear state of consciousness. Let us think a little bit about it. When the consciousness is influenced by the mode of passion, you have faith in your own activities. When your consciousness is influenced by the mode of ignorance, you will think, a good sleep will solve all my problems. When your consciousness is in the mode of sattva, or clarity, then you will be able to place your faith in Krishna, not in rajas and tamas. Then you have rajasic faith and tamasic faith. Only when you are in sattva will you have faith in the Lord. So, but the natural state of the mind, I want to say this, is to be sattvic, is to be clear, to be unadulterated. So once you place this faith in Krishna in your mind, something wonderful will happen to you. You will get virya, strength, a lot of strength. A person who has faith in his mind can walk through closed doors. It is not problematic for him. Everything is given to a person who has Shraddha because he gets this virya. Virya means the strength where he can overcome obstacles very, very easily. There is a festival in Berlin coming up where the people expect 30 or 40,000 people, and I always wanted to address so many people about a Krishna conscious subject matter. It is a dream, and somehow I had faith it's possible to get onto the main stage. And because of this faith, it was just faith, Krishna can do everything. I now just found an invitation with VIP passport and VIP parking place. Although this is very difficult to come to the stage there. And I will come two times on the stage. It is there is a certain strength is given when you just have faith. It just works. It's a natural law. This from the strength, a particular important psychological movement will come. When you are strong in your consciousness, you will always remember your goal in your life. If you are not strong in your consciousness, you will forget your goal and become engaged in 1 million unimportant diversions. But if you have faith, you will get virya strength and you will remember your goal, and this goal will further empower you. Oh yes, to say no to what is unfavorable and to embrace what is favorable on your spiritual path. From smriti, or remembrance of the goal, full concentration will come, and from full concentration or samadhi, pragya will come, a completely clear consciousness. My point here really is faith in Krishna will give you strength. Strength to walk through the walls, or as Prabhupada said, there will be no impossible for you. Because he says impossible is a word for those who are not Krishna consciousness, who are not remembering Krishna. Therefore, they just lack the strength to cross over the obstacles of material life. My dear devotees, this surrendering to Krishna and having faith that Krishna protects and maintains the devotees is the soul and the heart of bhakti. This is the if you perform your bhakti, but you do not have this faith, you will be always afraid, oh, this will happen, that will happen. You will not be able to rest in peace if you don't have this faith that Krishna will protect you. And you will be in anxiety, oh, this and that, and you will be tormented with this existential panic, which is there for every conditioned soul. I will not be loved. I will not be able to live a fulfilling life. Faith is so important, especially this faith in Krishna's protection, because Krishna immediately responds to this. He feels these people have just given everything in my into my hands. I now must take care of them. I remember an incident in my life when I lived in Schloss Rettershof, a castle in central Germany near Frankfurt. And we had a little, there was also family living there, and the little boy just loved me. His name was Madan Mohan. So we had developed a little play, Madan Mohan and myself. He was just able to run on his own. The play was, each Sunday we would have about 5 big tables where we would put the pots for the Sunday feast. We had hundreds of Sunday guests in the old times, and we needed we had a full banquet for them. So there were 5 long tables, and when the tables were when the guests had eaten, the tables were removed and put back into, not the tables, the pots were removed from the tables from where the prasadam was served to our many guests, and the tables were free. So Madan Mohan and my game was, Madan Mohan would climb on the table, on one table, and he would run for these 5 long tables. It was like few meters, you know, a lot of meters. He would run, and then he would jump, and I would catch him, and so that he would not fall on the floor. So I do remember one particular incident which stays still in my mind. I was in some part of the hall, talking to people. And all of a sudden I heard the noise of little Madan Mohan's feet on the table. He was running. And he was starting to jump without me being there. The little boy was going to jump, and he would break his head and neck. And I remember I was talking to the people, and then I saw, oh no, Madan Mohan is running. Madan Mohan, I'm not there, I'm here. But just because the Madan Mohan had this face, Sachinandan will be there, and he will catch me. I felt it is my duty to come. And I jumped like a lion through the hall, and I just somehow met it, and like the keeper in a goal, you know, I could just jump and catch Madan Mohan. And we both of us fell on the ground, but he fell on me. I was a good polster for him, and I kept him a little up so that he wouldn't hurt himself, because I felt I must take care of someone who has so much faith in me. I'm his only shelter. So Krishna feels like that also, but only if you have faith. If you don't have faith, Krishna will say, oh, try your other ways, try your arrangements, try your own fantastic plans, and he will not take care of us. Once, and this will be my last point, once Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu illustrated this point on faith. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to the house of Srivas Pandit, his dear devotee. And he said, Srivas Pandit, I see you never work for the maintenance of your family. What is in your mind? I always see you doing kirtan, reading Bhagavad Gita, taking care of your Vaishnava guests, but I don't see you working. But you have such a big family. Srivas Pandit looked at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and then clapped three times in his hands. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, that's not an answer. Srivas said, it is an answer, my lord. If for one day you do not keep your promise to take care of your faithful devotees, we will fast. If for a second day you don't keep your promise to take care of your faithful devotees, we fast. If for the third day you don't keep your promise, be fast. But then, if you don't take care and break your own promise and prove your own words to be false, we will go to the Ganga and drown ourselves. We will not be able to tolerate that you are accused to say false words. Gauranga Mahaprabhu roared in ecstasy. Roared! He said, Srivas Pandit, I promise you, even if the day should come where Mother Lakshmi takes a begging bowl and goes from house to house because she has become poor and says, Bhikshu Dehi, give me some donation. Even if that day should come, I will never fail to my own promise. I will always take care of you. Then the Lord explained his own words in the Bhagavad Gita, which I will try to find for you. It is in the 9th chapter of the Gita, text 22. The Lord again spoke those same words he gave the same promise which he had earlier given to Arjuna. These words are
Ananyaschintayanto mang ye jana payupasate tesham nitya viyoktanam yogachemam vahamyam.
Those who always worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, to them I carry what they lack and I preserve what they have. This is not an unpleasant task for Krishna. He likes to take care of his devotees. He likes to plan for them, arrange for them, carry things which they need to them. This is not a burden, just like a family man who has a loving wife and loving children. He likes to provide them with milk and with whatever they require in their lives. It's not something which he feels is a duty. See, love is the only wealth in this world which increases when you give it away. The secret of bhakti is to give your loving emotions to Krishna. You will see, you have more. Krishna himself, he also wants to give his loving emotion, his loving heart to his devotees and take care of them in all respects. It's just this one requirement which the Lord wants to see, this faith. It's his vow that those who are faithful in him, the Lord will take care of them. We started with Bilva Mangala Thakur, who came to Vrindavan and who described Krishna like this. He said, Krishna has firmly vowed to dispel the distress of all those whose heart have blossomed with faith. The greatest distress for a devotee in this life is really not to be taken care of financially, materially, and security. The greatest need is not that. The greatest need of a devotee is to feel a connection with Krishna, to feel his presence, to feel how he interacts with his devotees, to feel that, my Lord, I'm giving you a sign. Do you hear me? Can you feel me? Do you respond to me? The devotee wants to have wants that Krishna finally shows him his beautiful form, and in this way solves the distress of the soul. When Bilva Mangala Thakur entered Vrindavan finally, Krishna saw, my devotee has gone from South India on a long, long journey and has finally come to my Vrindavan, my home. I must take care of him. I must greet him. And therefore the Lord appeared to him just in the same way as he had appeared before Srimati Radhika and the gopis, who felt so much separation from Krishna and who had been crying because of this. There's a beautiful Bhagavatam verse which says how Lord Krishna appeared before the gopis. It's the same way how he appeared before Bilva Mangala Thakur. He appeared with a smile on his lotus face. He was smiling. He was wearing a garland, a long garland, and a yellow garment, that is a yellow dhoti. And it is described that Krishna looked so beautiful that he was actually able to bewilder the mind of the God of love. I think we all would like to become free from Cupid, the Lord of love, who puts us into mundane love and illusions, puts us into a great illusion. Cupid has, you know, these five arrows which he tips in a particular poison. And when he shoots someone with these poisoned arrows, there is a reaction. The reaction is that one loses his way in spiritual life, and one becomes shaken, and one becomes illusioned, and one gives his life to the wrong causes and in the wrong direction. Therefore, Cupid is often called Mar. Mar means he who kills. When I was in South Africa, I visited a cave, and in the cave we saw these paintings of the cavemen. And these cavemen had these arrows which they would blow, and they would travel and then shoot someone, and the person who was shot by the arrow couldn't move any longer. He was stultified. I saw this in the caveman's cave. I have seen with my own eyes the caveman's drawing there. So Cupid is also has these flower-tipped arrows. They look very beautiful, but flower arrows, but they are tipped in a certain poison that if you fall too much into the influence of mundane love and attachment, you will not move very nicely on your spiritual path. So Krishna is fortunately called, in the way he appears to the devotee, as he who bewildereth the mind of Cupid. He is stronger than Cupid. And this is how he appeared to the gopis and to Bimba Mangala Thakur. We will try to show it to you. See, there's Srimati Radharani, who sees how Krishna comes from the forest of Vrindavan. He is dressed in a yellow dhoti, and he has a yellow pitambara, like a scarf, and he is in a mood of asking his devotees, I know you yearned and longed so much for me. I feel that I kept you waiting for so long. Now please look at me and satisfy your eyes. It is a beautiful painting, you must agree. And it is this form, the form which is so beautiful that it bewilders even he or him who can bewilder everyone, Cupid, which the Bilva Mangala saw. And he describes how this form came to him. He first asked the question, is this the God of love? And he uses the word, I will close the book again, Mar is, but then he says, it can't be the mundane Cupid because I'm still alive. I'm not killed at this moment. So then it must be sweetness, a splendor of sweetness. Krishna has an effulgence of mind-enchanting sweetness. But then he says, no, it can't be that. It must be the essence of all sweetness. It must be that. It must be that. And then finally he exclaims, no, it is the Lord who I'm yearning, whom I wish to see since so many, 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 many long years in this material world. So, ultimately, Krishna's vow to dispel the distress of the devotee means that Krishna will personally give his darshan to the devotee. He will say, oh my devotee, you have for so long stayed in this world. You have suffered cold and heat,
slip discs and this and that. You have been blasphemed. People have called you foolish. You have been you have sacrificed a materially comfortable life, all for my sake, all for my sake. Now please come into my embrace. And Krishna, in this way, accepts the devotee back home, and in this way, fulfills his vow to deliver the distress of all those who have faith in their hearts. When Krishna accepted Bilva Mangala Thakur, Bilva Mangala Thakur was overwhelmed with ecstasy was carried back by Krishna, back home, back to Godhead, after a few days only. Hare Krishna. So this is what I wanted to share with you today. I think the highlights of what you have heard today is Krishna has made a vow, a sacred vow, to take care of all those in whose heart faith has blossomed. And I wanted to say from the Patanjali Yoga Shastras what faith is. It is the natural clear state of the consciousness, and the byproducts of it are that you will have a lot of virya, strength, and smriti, that is, you will remember your goal. When your faith in Krishna's protection is not there, you will not have strength, you will not remember your goal, and so on. So, today I want to close my little lecture by encouraging you to build up your faith. We have heard about Srivas Thakur's tremendous faith in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. To build up your own faith in your Krishna conscious life, I would recommend to you something which you might at least in the beginning find a little unusual. I would recommend you to first of all read regularly in the Bhagavatam, because in this age of Kali, the Bhagavatam is the Pradhinidhi Rupa, that is the full representation of Krishna, who has come on the horizon of this dark age to give light to all those who care to contact the Bhagavatam and consult the Bhagavatam. So please become a regular Bhagavatam reader to get this light which you may need, so that the darkness comes out of your heart and your natural state of consciousness arises where you have faith in Krishna. It's very important. And then I would request you to do something in devotional service which is out of your usual orbit, out of your usual activity. We are often so mechanical in our lives, and we do always the same things and we think the same thoughts. Just trust a little in Krishna by doing something, either in spreading Krishna consciousness. Maybe you bring someone some prasadam, some neighbor, or you invite someone for a good Krishna conscious discussion in your life, or you organize kirtan at your home. Maybe you will think, how will it work? We are after all not in the Gaurahari Bhajan band, and we don't sing like Madhava. How will it work? Do something which is outside of your normal activity. Do an act of faith, and you will see very often how Krishna rushes to your help and increases your faith a little bit, so that you can again do an act of faith and see again the response of Krishna to what you do, and again feel how your faith increases until you are not a devotee any longer who just turns to Krishna when there are obstacles to overcome. No, you have become a devotee who just loves Krishna for being Krishna.
I must admit, I don't have this wristwatch is not, it's 10 minutes. 10 past 8. We are perfectly on time to say goodbye to all of you. I want to thank you very much for participating in our little Ekadasi Sangha. It was a great, great pleasure to feel your, let me say, presence, your unmanifested presence. And I'm very, very grateful that I can serve you with these Ekadasi Sanghas. I'm hoping to see you very soon for one of the next Ekadasis. Important announcements for you are, if you can please join us in Serbia for the Serbian summer camp. I think it will be extraordinary, wonderful and creative in some ways. And if you can also make your plans to come to the Kirtan Mela in end of August, beginning of September, where we will chant for 12 hours a day in a Kirtan village in the central part of Germany. I think that will really create a big, big impetus in our all spiritual life. Hare Krishna, Hare Bol. Hare Krishna, we are gone.
Yeah, we have the super good quality recording, this good sound.
I see.